This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Thank you for staying with us on the morning run on BFM 89.9. Now, last month, the Penang state government announced plans to ban short-term home rentals at high-rise buildings. And although the ban has yet to be implemented, it sparked a wide-ranging public conversation on how short-term rentals should be regulated.
And presently, day-to-day or short-term rentals are currently unlicensed, but complaints that the practice created unfair competition for licensed hotels are long-standing. Additionally, the state government has said that short-term rentals create disturbances for permanent residents, with over 1,000 complaints received by local authorities since the economy fully reopened.
Prior to the pandemic, the government and industry stakeholders had been in talks to establish clear regulations for short-term rentals, although no outcome has yet been reached as far as we know. How might effective policy regulation for short-term rentals look like?
Well, to expand on this issue, we now turn to Chan Ai-Cheng, the president of the Malaysian Institute of Estate Agents. Good morning, Ai-Cheng. Now, do we have a sense of how many properties are offering short-term rentals, and how do we differentiate this versus homestays?
Okay, thank you, Philip. Okay, when it comes to short-term rentals, I think there's two sides of it. Okay, like rightly you said, short-term rentals as well as homestay. So what's the difference between the two? I feel that the difference in short-term rentals, I think short-term rentals is more of the likes of the service apartments, like the Escorts, the Somerset, the fully furnished ones, the one that has bigger space and it comes professionally managed. It has a concierge, you know, very similar to a hotel setup, just a bit bigger. Versus a homestay, I think homestay is more of private owners opening up their properties or opening up their homes for renters to rent and, you know, for travelers and similar like house guests. I think it evolved from the very famous concept of bed and breakfast in the UK. So they have got it to a step further and it, in a way it becomes like a full-fledged business. So we need to separate the two because short-term rentals, as far as the service apartments are concerned, that falls under the hotel and you know, that category. Whereas homestay is the one that is, in a way, as you guys mentioned, it's the licensing part of it is lacking perhaps. Yes.
So what have been the major gripes and concerns raised by neighbours and property developers over these short-term rentals?
Okay, when it comes to neighbours, right, and property owners, when it comes to a home, I think everyone expects some amount of stability, some consistency and some security. I think knowing your neighbours is being one of them. And although you don't need to know your neighbours very well, but the idea that it's the same family or it's the same couple that's staying next door for the next year actually gives the owners better peace of mind versus a homestay kind of thing. Like every week or every other day could be a different person moving in and out of the place. So I think there is a difference between having a homestay and a place like a hotel and motels and service apartments that are meant for that. So I think that's why the owners and a lot of, those living in strata developments are facing, this kind of uncomfort. It's more of an uncomfortable feeling when you are living there not full-time, when you're living there as an owner-occupier and then seeing all these constant movements.
Yeah, those security issues are paramount. But Ai-Cheng, how does a regulatory framework look like that is conducive to both parties, all parties to the ecosystem?
Okay, when it comes to the homestay, right, I always feel that, we have always felt as estate agents that it was always treading on the grey area. And because it's not exactly regulated under, you know, Estate Agency Act 242, where landlords actually engage the services of an estate agent to find them tenants. But these ones are like hotels and they are cross between that. So in a way, it was trading over gray areas. So now that the regulators are coming in and saying that, hey, I think we don't want it looking so grey. We want it making it more black and white. So that's why, the state governments who have taken it upon themselves to regulate this somewhat under different sections have been looking into it more seriously. Like actually for Sabah, the DBKK, right, they consider these short-term rentals or these homestays, right, as lodging houses. And they put them under the hotels and lodging houses bylaws. That's how they regulate them in Sabah. In Penang, I think they wanted all these operators to have some trade, business and industries licenses, you know, the bylaws under the MPPP. So I think there is some amount of controls that's been trying to, you know, come in to look after this. But I think the more clear direction that we got was the federal court decision sometime in the year 2020, cementing the powers of the management bodies like the MC and the GMB to, you know, if let's say you guys form a house rule and you said that in this particular strata development, you do not want the operation of homestays and all that, that could actually be incorporated into the house rules or the rules of the that particular strata development. And that's how they could possibly control it.
But it's so interesting because you talk about four levels of how we could regulate. You could go down to the GMB, you could go down to the district, like the city, you could go to the state and even have a discussion at the federal level. Where will the regulatory framework sit? At what level, right, of government and ownership should it sit, actually?
Yeah, I believe that because there's two types of property, I mean, that is predominantly used for homestays, right? There's some that are actually in a condo, where it's predominantly residential. I feel that that is where the complaints are majority coming from. And then there's another type of accommodation that is sitting on commercial title. And some would say that since it's sitting on commercial title, why can't I use my accommodation as a run it like a business? So I think that was the predominant thinking that was going through. But when the federal court decided and said that, okay, I know you guys are struggling with these issues, why don't we just, I mean, we just give the powers to the GMB and the MC, which forms the members anyway. And then at the AGM, the owners could decide, okay, I think for this particular development, we don't mind having, you know, these short-term rentals and, you know, homestays and stuff. Then that's the decision of the management corporation and the GMB. So every owner has a right to vote, depending on, you know, their parcel size and all that. So that is possibly a good way to determine whether that particular building would do better with it or without.
Yes, but how do we enforce this? Because, you know, other than the owners themselves, there are also many channels from established global brands like Airbnb, you know, who also runs all these sort of short-term rental business.
Yeah, I think it's very unfortunate that everything that needs to be enforced needs to have a fine. So, under the Strata Management Act, there is a provision for a fine if the owners continue to operate when they are not supposed to. So there are fines. I think probably that's as far as it can go, I think, for the time being under the Strata Management Act. But I want to look a little bit at Singapore. I think if you look at I'm not too sure, perhaps what Penang is trying to do is model after Singapore. Because Singapore, they do not allow these short-term accommodations. Yeah. They view a short-term accommodation as anything shorter than, I think, 3 months, if I'm not mistaken. And they also said that, you know, so all residential properties, condos or even bungalows or semi-Ds or whatever, flats even, they are not allowed. They're all intended for long-term residents. And what they meant by long-term is more than 3 months. Right? So the purpose of this regulation, same thing, like what we're trying to do, is to safeguard the safety, privacy, security of the home. And then they also meant one more level. They said the residential character of the local community, because they said it would be compromised if there's so many coming in and going out of short-term visitors. So they actually made it illegal.
Just a quick one, and I'm just wondering your observation, right? Do you see property prices correlated with regulations such as this? Do you see it have a premium or discount? Just a quick one on that.
Okay, when you talk about daily rentals versus monthly or yearly rentals, of course, the daily ones price themselves a little bit higher. But also, it also determines how frequent you can turn around the property. So if you look at it, a long-term rental, as in a year rental, of course, the collective is the reason why people are switching to short-term rentals is so that they can get better returns. But there comes these challenges as well. So at the end of the day, I think it kind of equal out, especially during certain times of the year where it's not popular, not the holiday season, then they could experience a slow take-up rate as well. So I think because it's a business in nature, so it falls under another type of consideration as well.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. That was Chan Ai Ching, the president of the Malaysian Institute of Estate Agents. I mean, many countervailing factors and many, many different parts of the ecosystem that need, you know, obviously looking after excess supply would be fantastic if it was mopped up by these, Airbnb-type homestays. But then at the same time, if you're a resident there, then security is an issue.
Yeah, I always think that the enforcement is always an issue here because a lot of times, a lot of condos actually have, or JMB actually put in place all these regulations regulation that says no short-term stays, but it's hard to control because owners sometimes, you know, they, because of the lack of rental rates, to pay for their installments, they just go all out and offer these short-term houses.
Easy to enforce if you decentralize the power and pass it to the JMB to enforce.
That would be good if you had a good JMD. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.